from instructing those interested in scuba diving to adventure traveling and photography, Bill and Sandy Miller have left a mark on many lives. So I want to welcome you, Bill and Sandy, to our program where we talk about who you are and what's important to you and into what you do. So welcome.
Very good. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So we're going to start. I mentioned we're going to change the setup a little bit. We want to know more about you, and we're going to start wherever you want to start in your life's journey. So who are you? Where'd you come from? What's just tell us about your journey.
Well, Bill and I met when I was a scuba dive master, and he decided to take a course in advanced diving. And didn't take me long to figure out he was pretty squared away, pretty smart, and we needed more people like that on staff. So once he got into, we were diving in an old lead mine called Bonterre Mine, and we ended up starting to travel together down in the Caribbean, and we worked for Bonterre for about 4 years, and then Bill started doing trips, and I did the marketing for the trips, and we had anywhere from around, on average, about 15 to 22 people on our trips.
Ooh, okay.
I counted up. I think we had over 20 organized dive trips between 1984 and 2001.
Oh, wow.
So we did at least one a year, and they were a lot of fun. A lot of friends, family joined in. We had a great time.
And Bill ended up taking up photography, underwater photography, and so I would model for him for about 3 years, and then he wanted to take a class from Kathy Church, who was an underwater photographer, and asked if I could go along on the boat, and she said, no, only photographers. So he got me into photography, which he was sorry about because he lost his model.
I understand.
But everything I learned from him in underwater photography was because of him.
Wow.
But the good news was I got to trade up my camera. I gave her my old one, and I got a new one.
So backing up just a little bit, where are y'all from? Are you from Cookeville? Are you from Tennessee? Or kind of start?
Lived in St. Louis most of our lives.
Okay.
And, of course, the nearest diving location was about 15 minutes away at the airport. Most of our diving was done in the Caribbean, but we've also dove off the west coast of California all the way down to Baja and Hawaii. And then my trip of a lifetime when I was 41 years old was I asked Bill to get me to Palau.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up adding not only Palau, but Truk Lagoon and Yap, which is known for manta rays.
Wow. You have a wealth of information here and a wealth of experiences, so I'm going to try to not talk a lot and let you just tell the stories of your experiences. How rare is what you do? I mean, diving and scuba diving and photography and the specialty, or is it a small group overall?
Well, there's a tremendous amount of people in diving.
Mm-hmm.
And both Bill and I became dive instructors, and
sure.
We did that for about 20 years.
One of the things that attracted me to Sandy is when I was just getting into diving and she was helping out with courses,
mm-hmm.
She was so helpful to people, just went overboard in trying to help people learn. And I'm kind of a teacher myself at heart. So
oh, sure.
I think that was part of the mutual attraction. So after we both became instructors, we worked together a lot, evenings, you know, after work, teaching dive classes.
So connectivity, what led you to this part of the world? You're from St. Louis. You've been doing things. How did you end up Cookeville, Putnam County, Upper Cumberland, Tennessee?
Well, I retired in 2008.
Okay.
From Anheuser-Busch in St. Louis.
Okay.
And we'd been, you know, we love travel. Fundamentally, we like going everywhere. It was fun during scuba diving, and we've been traveling all over the country as well. So we took those opportunities to kind of scope out places where we might want to be after retirement. And some places were clearly not in the running. We love the West.
Sure.
Southwest Colorado was my favorite in the Durango area, but there's very little private land there. A lot of public land, which drives prices up. And it was pretty remote. And at one time, we did a trip to Danville, Kentucky, followed by here, followed by Maryville,
good place,
Tennessee. All good places, but it was kind of a Goldilocks kind of thing. Danville was too small.
Yeah.
Maryville was too large.
Oh,
and
sure.
Cookeville seemed just right.
Yeah, it's what you're describing, it's such a special place, because I was paid to say that for almost 20 years, but I believed it. We retired here, but it's just one of these, it's just a jewel. And there are other jewels in this country. But what a wonderful place to do whatever you want to do.
Well, Sandy had some specific criteria for where we were going to move.
I had a list of about 22 things.
Can you share a few of them with us?
Well, the biggest thing was I wanted a smaller town, because I grew up in Niagara Falls, New York, which was fairly small.
Okay.
But I didn't want a big city. We had already lived in St. Louis, and the traffic was horrendous. I wanted to have a semblance of an art community, an area of water. I wanted some natural resources. And when we got here, we didn't realize how awesome this place was for all the waterfalls, which we went and did a lot of hiking to. And like Bill said, we looked at probably maybe 20 different places, looking around and thinking about it. And when we walked into a lot of different houses in these different cities, it was like, I could make that work, but I'd have to change this, and I'd want to do this. And the seventh house that we looked at here in Cookeville, I walked into the front door, stood at the front door, and I said, this is it.
Whoops, there it is.
And Bill was like, really? I said, yeah, this is it. And he said, what about the town? And I said, I don't know. Let's go look at it after.
Let's go check it
after
out.
We look at the rest of the house. And the house ended up being exactly what we were looking for. And one of the big things, too, was having a college town. So Tennessee Tech, which we've kind of adopted.
Wonderful.
Which Bill can tell you about that. But that was a real selling point, too.
You know, as someone who moved in 04, and I'm a – tell you one quick story, and I'm going to try to be quiet again. We did a study through our chamber, and an economic development study, and about opportunities, and we thought they would come back. We hired an internationally known site consultant out of New Jersey that worked with one-third of the Fortune 500, and they came back with a report, about a $40,000 study, privately funded through some. And that in itself was a lot of money to be spending doing these kind of things in a small community. And they came back and they gave a report, and the president of Wadley Donovan was the name of the company. They said, now I hope, you know, sit down, you may not believe what we're getting ready to tell you. We thought they'd say, you know, plastics or, you know, something, you have a whatever, you know, tile manufacturing because of all of. And they basically said, you have world-class arts, music, and crafts. You're already a miniature Asheville, North Carolina, but you don't know it yet. And one day, if you ever discover it and learn how to market it, you are a smaller Asheville, North Carolina. I mean, when you have three and four generations of people playing the mandolin or playing music, arts, crafts, this is just how we live. It's the way of life. And it's not just our immediate area. It's this whole region of the country.
And that's an interesting point from my perspective, because that was one of my criteria. Being an artist, I was a graphic designer career-wise. I wanted some type of community that had art involved. And so we ended up looking at that aspect. And you've got the Cookeville Art Studio and Gallery, which we're very involved with. You've got Tennessee Tech's Appalachian Center for Craft, which is awesome.
What a jewel.
And every year, Art Round Tennessee puts out the Art Prowl, which involves over 80 artists.
Yes.
And I didn't even, being an artist and being here for 14 years, I didn't even realize we had so many artists here in the area. So it's been really exciting to be in this town from that aspect.
Yeah, we discovered virtually the same thing, not to the level that you did because of your who you are and your expertise, but it's just one of those. In Tennessee Tech is a world-class in a university, and what they're doing and the commitment. So,
well, that's some of the first people we met was at Tennessee Tech, and you know, at our age now, we realized it was time to start giving back.
No question. Yes.
So we got involved with Tennessee Tech and were active supporters there. We really fell in love with some of the athletics.
Oh, sure.
Women's basketball is great. Just awesome. And Kim Roseman, who's the coach, is just,
you know,
tremendous.
Women's basketball has always been big in the Upper Cumberland and this region. A lot of the stars, women's stars in college, played high school basketball in this, not just here, but in this corridor here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's big time. And what we're doing now, that we're blossoming.
Yeah.
I need to pay attention to the time here. I'm getting carried away. But so you're a dyed in the wool Cookeville, Upper Cumberland, Tennessee Tech, and
yeah, we've really gotten into it.
You discovered what we discovered in a different way, but we discovered the same thing. So, well, we're finishing our first segment, and we've really got a lot to talk about. And I got a lot to listen to. But we'll be back with the Millers here talking local matters. We were talking when we last went off the air that what intrigued you about this region. And maybe we can pick up there. Other things that you noticed when you were looking for a home, you found us.
Well, I would include that, you know, a reasonable cost of living. A lot of places we looked, you know, very expensive to live, but it seemed very reasonable in this area, and it still is. And as Sandy said, we came here because the traffic was so bad in St. Louis. But now I'm beginning to wonder about the traffic here.
No, that's a great point. We were talking with another person earlier. Any community that goes through rapid growth,
it's a challenge.
It is a challenge because infrastructure will not keep up with the and that's what we're seeing here. I think we grew 10,000 people since the last census. So it's got to hopefully raising per capita incomes. The challenges of fast growth and trying to make sure you maintain your one sense of community and you're still a community. That's probably the biggest challenge. So, but you've seen it already.
There's a lot of good things going on.
Oh, it's great things going on.
But you're right. Infrastructure takes a while to plan and implement.
One of the things that when we first were looking at homes here, our agent said, "Have you seen our hospital? Do you want to see our hospital?"
Oh, yeah.
Now, this was when we were much younger, and we were like looking at each other, why would we want to see the hospital? Of course, we visited the hospital a number of times now, so the hospital is really a big part of an advantage being in Cookeville, because you do have something that close.
Yeah, most retiree studies talk about airports being close to a regional airport, medical and a university, and we hit. My wife and I, we're focusing more on the medical. It's almost like whose doctor's appointment is it today? But we're very fortunate in the relationships that we have with Vanderbilt, St. Thomas, but our university. I mean, our medical.
Well, one of the things that I was mentioning that I'm an artist, but Bill is also a fantastic photographer. And recently we took a trip to Galapagos and visited the Galapagos Islands in Ecuador. And then we also went to Peru to see Machu Picchu, and we got to see some of the culture and buildings and architecture there.
It was a fantastic
trip. I was going to say, you want to talk a little bit about that? That'd be great.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We love travel.
Yes.
It's exciting, and we both love to take pictures when we travel.
Sure.
So there's a common theme there. Machu Picchu and the Galapagos Islands was kind of one of those dream trips.
Oh, sure.
They're very distinctly different. You know, one is up at 8,000 to 12,000 feet, you know, the mountains in the Andes. And one, of course, is at sea level. So first question is, how do you pack for a trip like that?
Yeah, the dichotomy.
And that turned out to be not an issue at all. But the Inca civilization was a lot of fun to study before the trip to figure out the historical context of what we would see. So I, in particular, got into some books and did a lot of research, which I like, you know.
Yeah, you learn the stories. But what an advanced civilization. The Incas, the Aztecs, just that whole culture.
Well, they certainly knew how to build buildings.
Architecture.
The stone structures they built with interlocking, odd angled,
with no
shaped
tools.
No mortar involved.
Yeah, yeah.
And after the Spanish seized Cusco in 1533, see, I've been doing my studying.
Yeah.
There were a couple of major earthquakes over the years, and those Inca walls, you know, basically stayed still.
Wow.
While the colonial buildings collapsed and were destroyed. So they knew a thing or two about architecture and building sturdy stone structures, you know, in a highly seismic area.
You know, excuse me, go ahead.
And Bill is going to be doing a presentation on that at the Cookeville Camera Club, which is held at the Cookeville Art Studio and Gallery. Mm-hmm. He's going to be showing over 300 images and talking about what we experienced. So if anybody's interested in that, Cookeville Art Studio is on Walnut, and it'll be starting at 7 o'clock.
On what day? What time? Monday, August 11th.
Okay. Wow, that's great. Beautiful. That's another part of our culture, the photography, the arts, the whole thing. So coincidentally, I've been doing some reading into history and the Spanish and the founding of El Norte, I think they call it the West, and predating the Pilgrims coming over. So it's
sure
a whole
is.
And the advanced civilization and the Spanish and the culture and their way of life and just some bad stories too, you know, of how they. But it's a silver and gold and natural resources. So it's just a wonderful, wonderful civilization.
Well, it's interesting that the Spanish had an unquenchable thirst for gold and silver.
Yes, they did.
And to put it mildly. And the Incas realized that, but they didn't see gold and silver
same way
as any monetary value.
That's right.
It was all decorative.
Mm-hmm.
They used to literally line their temples with gold sheets. So that was the value of, you know.
Two different value systems,
absolutely.
But same result in terms of what it did to the. Anything else you want to talk about? Now we're on to that. Yes, ma'am.
Well, both Bill and I are going to be in Art Prowl, which is part of Art Round Tennessee, which is on the 8th and 9th of November. It's always the second Friday and Saturday of November. And then right after that, we're going to be having a show at the Cookeville Art Studio featuring, I'm sorry, it was the 7th and 8th.
Okay.
We'll be having a show at the Cookeville Art Studio featuring Bill's photography. I'll be doing my ceramics and polymer clay, and we will have two other artists that we're showing with.
Hmm.
One is Nicole Groot Morrison, who was a recent graduate maybe about 7 or 8 years ago from Tennessee Tech. She's a fantastic illustrator and painting artist, and I love her work. She also does work for the Bryan Symphony Orchestra. Mm-hmm. Her illustrations for that are amazing. And then the other person is from Monterey. Her name is Barbara Chambers, and she does abstract painting.
Wow. So we're a little more global than we think we are. I'm talking about the international community in so many ways, arts, crafts, music, everything. So we're nearing the end of the segment. Look forward to the next segment where we're going. Let's talk about you in the future and the crystal ball and Cookeville and where we think we're going. We're back with Bill and Sandy Miller. We spent the first couple of sessions talking, and now we get to look in the crystal ball a little bit and talk about you are adventure traveling and world-class photography, and you've done a lot of interesting things, and kind of where you're going and where do you think we're going as a community, just looking in the crystal ball. Really, it's potpourri. Anything you want to talk about?
Well, that's an interesting question. I'm sure we will continue to travel.
Okay.
We do a lot of travel around the country. We have a little camper, and we've taken that a number of different places, up to Lake Superior, shore of Lake Superior, out west to Utah.
Oh, man.
So we love seeing this country.
For sure.
But it's a lot of fun doing some international travel now and then. We haven't been since diving. You know, we created a trip to Italy, and this trip was a little bit different in that it was a completely guided tour. Didn't have to arrange hardly anything, which was kind of relaxing.
Yeah,
for
you
a change.
Are in charge, isn't it nice?
But it worked out very well. But you know, there's the good things about a formal guided tour, and there's some challenges. You have to go on their schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we like to linger and do things a little bit differently.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But, yes, travel will definitely be in the future, I'm sure.
Well, you know, as you were talking, it's apparent that you have used your vocation and your love of what you do to be able to go do some pretty neat things and see some places and experience this community and this world of ours. So
it's been very exciting. And Bill does research to the umpteenth thing. Even though the company we were using to go to South America was theoretically handling everything, he was still researching and talking to them and getting information. But like Bill said, it was very disappointing. There were times when we would have liked to have stayed longer at Machu Picchu.
Instead, they
took us on a tour kind of around the city. And
they did the tourist stuff.
Yeah. Probably.
Exactly.
Bill sounded like he took it to a whole nother level, his preparation for y'all.
Absolutely. And when we did Italy, we went to probably about 13 different cities around the West Coast and over to Rome and Florence and
– Oh, yeah. Sure.
Up to Venice, and he had everything planned out from where we were going to stay, what the sites were that we were going to visit. He started buying tickets to some places a year in advance.
In advance, sure.
Up to a week in advance, because some places would only allow you to buy tickets at certain points of the time. So he, any place we stayed, he knew where the train stations were or the bus stations or if we needed to take a taxi. He had worked all of that out, and it was an amazing trip. And I've had people tell me all the time, oh, you need to go to Italy because it's all about art. And it was like, yeah, well, we have museums here. No, everything,
no, you said that's right.
Everything in Italy is art.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
The roads, the floor, the ceiling, the museums. He just about killed me because he would plan about 3 to 5 things in a day. And the towers that we climbed and the hills that we went over.
He dealt in volume, didn't he?
Like, she's never forgiven me for all the bell towers.
You remember Chevy Chase in Vacation where he saw the Grand Canyon in 5 minutes? That's probably, as you were describing, that's what I saw Bill do. He's trying to pack as much into a day as he can.
Absolutely. And I was so excited to get to the Mediterranean because I used to be a competitive swimmer.
Ooh,
and
okay.
I'm all about the water. I really wanted to.
It was time, wasn't it?
Get into the Mediterranean. And by the time I got there, my legs were so shot, all I could do was just float.
Oh, that is wonderful. Cookeville and Putnam County, Tennessee, our area. What do you see in the future for arts, for music, for things that you care about? Are you seeing we have the resource. I mean, we have the ingredients here. Do you see us going to other levels? Or what do you see?
Well, I think it's going to continue to grow. I remember back when we first came, we could attend almost everything.
Right.
And now the selection is a lot higher. And, you know, we went to CPAC a couple weeks ago for a Journey tribute concert.
And that would have been great.
We're going again in August for a play. So there's a lot of things going on. It's hard to do everything we want anymore because there's so many options. So obviously I think there's growth.
And one of the things that I think is funny is when we moved from St. Louis, all of my friends said, oh, what are you going to do? There's probably no culture there. And it was like, we got here and there's something going on all the time. Sometimes we have to juggle whether we want to do this or that. And sometimes there are three things going that we end up going to all three. So, you know, it all depends on how we can manage things. But, yeah, it's a very exciting town to be in.
You know, and I was the proximity that we are to Nashville, Knoxville, Chattanooga, Atlanta. I mean, we're a suburb when we need to be of Nashville, for instance. The Performing Arts Center, the sports, the various things. So it takes an hour. We were in Charlotte years ago, my wife and I. It was almost an hour across the city. Well, in an hour, from Cookeville, you can almost be in Nashville. So
we get to Nashville a couple times a year now.
I bet you don't as much as you used to.
No. When we first got here, you know, we were at the Country Music Hall of Fame Grand Ole Opry. But then we had family visiting. And, there's good reason to do that. But there's twice a year, the
Tennessee Craft Fair.
Oh, sure.
The Parthenon.
And our next trip there in October, we have two postcards to deliver, hand deliver, hopefully. And this is a long story, but when we were at the Galapagos, they have a 1800s postal system where you literally go to a barrel and reach in and look for postcards of someone maybe close to you, and then you're supposed to hand deliver them. So that was a postal system started in the 1800s.
Service.
Ship people would leave letters, to loved ones, and the next ship that came in would look and see if they could deliver them.
So we left a couple, one of which got delivered. The other one we're still waiting on. My brother and his girlfriend also had a couple that they left, and one of hers got delivered. So that was kind of neat.
It's kind of fun,
But there is
no stamp is required.
When people say there's nothing to do, you read. There's something happening in this community, every region, every day. I mean, it's a matter of your interest and being a lot of it's communication, letting people know what's going on. And that's a big challenge.
And the Herald Citizen, even though it's, a little bit light on some of the content, we rely on that quite a bit to be able to tell when things are happening. And people say, how did you know about that? Well, it's in the Herald Citizen. Oh, we don't get that. Well, that's a shame
because that's
a main source of community information.
Support our local
thing. Our public television station. I'm rediscovering it now on some things. Just the richness of stories, and not just stories, programming is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, the programs are really first class.
Yeah. Anything in the future you want to talk about, or you're obviously very active. God's not through with y'all yet.
I don't think we have anything scheduled at this point, but you never know what's coming around the corner.
Yeah. Well, we've got a new football coach, so Bill goes to every game, and I constantly hear my phone ping, ping, ping when the schedule comes out because he's adding all of these football games and basketball games to the phone. And our phones are joint with the calendar, so it drives me a little bit crazy.
we can't wait for the season to start.
Oh, this is a great segue. you know, as a chamber guy, even in the modern era, I'm not talking about even back, I was in Clarksville for 8 years before coming here. And we, you know, the basket, and you'd think on a February night, now I'm going to be careful how I say this, but on a February night in the wintertime, or, you know, Tuesday night, Thursday night, that should be a happening. What, you know, where people go to the, and I guess with the modern era and for the last 20, 30 years we've lived in, you know, with television, of course, you got school for the kids. We got to where we didn't pack the place the way we used to. And that was a phenomenon not only here, but we've got, man, we're on the upswing now. Is that what you're, in this football, I'm excited about our coach. I'm excited about the recruiting. I think we're top 20 in the nation already. And last year we won the OVC in our coach's first year.
And we're poised to do it again, I think.
Yeah, so looking forward to fall. And then, of course, Kim and our basketball and our coach, Pelfrey, and yes. Men's, we've got our future is bright.
Well, we're at all the games, so see more people show up.
I need to start going. We used to go a lot the first several years we were in town, and all of a sudden you just get – there's other priorities, and you don't mean to. You're just not going. So – y'all got me excited again about the sports coming up.
Well, raise your right hand and promise to get season tickets.
You can do a commercial for that. That'd be great. We're just really getting started. You have so much to share, and I hope you're finding even more ways to share your experiences and your journey with the general public. I hope this is in some small way a vehicle for that. We're down to about 30 seconds. Anything else you'd like to add before we say sayonara or whatever we say?
Well, it's been a pleasure to be here and talk with you. It's something we enjoy doing.
Well, so it's been fun here. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. But we'll do it next time, and we'll do it again sometime with world travelers and world arts, music, and crafts folks, artists, the Millers. Thank you very much.